I've been studying this small community in Berga County, partially in Houghton County. It's right on the county line, for 49 years. I studied it for my doctoral dissertation, and back when I was doing statistical sociology, I was writing articles about it, and I made a lot of friends, kept going back year after year after year, and Pelkey got a piece of my heart, and I never stopped thinking about it, and I started, I think, I'm trying to recall this, but I think 2006, I video recorded on VHS back then, I think it was, my first interview for the Pelkey documentary. And subsequent to that, it developed into a big one because I know too much about the subject. And I'm a cultural sociologist egghead, a professor. I want to do too much. So we created this 161-minute docu-series. And it's too long to watch all at once. It's designed to watch over three evenings, but we've collapsed it into a two-hour program, and Dan can tell you about the program since he created it.
Okay. Well, I had a lot of help with Michael and John Sari, for another former professor here at the university. We decided that rather than this just being a simple showing of a film, that there be a discussion built into it. So we're going to show the film in two parts. And after the first part of the film, which will begin at 1 p.m., we're going to have a discussion with the audience about, you know, that first part, really focusing on the development of these ethnic communities in the Upper Peninsula, not just Finnish communities, but there's many ethnic communities in the UP. And then we'll watch the second part of the film, and after that we'll have another discussion about, you know, what's happened to these communities, you know, over time, how have they changed, and in some cases, how they've even disappeared, or really kind of at their end. And so it's going to be more than just a film showing. We are going to have a discussion with the audience. Michael, myself, and John Sari will be there kind of facilitating and leading that discussion.
Yeah. Why is it important to make films like this?
Well, we used to have people at the university who were researching, studying, and writing about the Upper Peninsula, but those people have retired, with the exception of some of those in the Native American Studies program here. And these communities, these rural communities, are changing so quickly, they are in some sense disappearing. They're not what they used to be. And I'm not just talking about Finnish America. 1977, a writer living in Kentucky, who's also a farmer, Wendell Berry, wrote this book called The Unsettling of America. And basically he pointed out that the industrialization of agriculture decimated rural communities, where family farmers had control over a plot of land for generations. They built up an intimate understanding of the land, and that understanding led them to care for it in ways that weren't always profitable in the short run. But farmers had to get bigger, had to invest more, had to go on in debt, and more farmers dropped out. And now there are very few farmers in America producing the same amount of food that was once produced by many farmers. Logging is the same way. The foundation stones of Pelkey and many communities in the Upper Peninsula were farming, basically family dairy farms, and logging. And mechanization wiped out dairy farming, and I thought, well, at least we're surrounded by forests. In the western part of the UP, it's about 90% forested. And I thought, well, at least there'll always be logging. But then I looked at some of these machines that they're using to log right now, and one man can do the work of about six or seven, just sitting in a machine that has shears, cuts off the limbs, cuts them into 8-foot long bolts, and stacks them on the side. That too is mechanized. So the jobs in rural America are vanishing, and that produces discontent. And of course, there's a political response to that discontent?
To answer your question also, Hans, yesterday I'm teaching a class and I showed one of Michael's films he made in the late 80s called A Good Man in the Woods. And it really struck home for me because there are people in that film who I knew. They were from my hometown and they're all gone.
Yeah.
Or they're no longer working in the woods because mm-hmm. there isn't a living to be made working in the woods the way it used to be. People are getting the same amount per cord of wood as they were getting 30 years ago. And so, you know, it's changed. Our economy has changed in the Upper Peninsula. And in some respects, our way of life. But also, too, is not only that, is the culture. In that film, there's a wonderful scene where Michael shot this wonderful party of Croatian families, Serbian families, Montenegrin families, playing tamburitzin music and eating the food. And I knew all those people because it was my hometown. And those folks are all gone now. There is no tamburitzin band anymore. None of those traditions have been carried on for the most part, except maybe some family stuff is carried on. And it's really, so in a way, it's sad. We've lost a lot because these ethnic communities, you know, their kids have gone on to other things. Very few of them have stayed. There hasn't been reasons for them to stay. And so it is part of our story of the UP. And so it was, on one hand, it was a great document Michael made because it really captured a time and a place so wonderfully.
Yeah.
And it's gone now. Which happens everywhere in the world and in America, but it in a way there is a certain sadness to it.
Sure.
I love that film.
Oh yeah.
I love that. That had about a 2-month theatrical run in Nagani.
Really?
Where people went to the theater, bought tickets and saw it. That hasn't been shown on PBS yet. I'll have to see if I can digitize that.
Yeah.
Well, we did joke that your next film should be A Good Woman in the Woods. So
do it.
That's the next one, Mike.
Yeah.
Well, one of my students working for me, really attractive young lady, said, "Just how good are those men in the woods?"
One thing, though, that you bring up, Dan, when you talk about A Good Man in the Woods, was Michael's ability to catch something that was still alive at the time. But it sounds to me like covering something like Pelkey or Winona that you did before was sort of trying to reach to the people who could remember when a community was still alive. Do you find that that's harder and harder to find those folks?
Indeed. This film is, like all of my films, to some extent, but especially the Winona Copper Country Ghost Town documentary, and this one, Pelkey, 100 Years of Finnishness in Michigan's North Woods, are really oriented toward oral history. And I would say that this film is a rather pure oral history film where Pelkey people are telling their own story. It's risky because you have a lot of visual talking heads.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a no-no. You have to have action and explosions and car chases to sustain intention.
Did you have old photos, at least, that you could use during
a lot of historical photos. Right. But for a topic like the history of a small community in the Upper Peninsula, we don't have the vast photo archive that Ken Burns has, where the mm-hmm. Library of Congress has all of these photos that were shot of the Civil War, of jazz, of baseball, and so on. So I had to get them via Facebook for the most part. Some people really delivered.
Yeah.
I mean, they called their relatives, they rounded up photos, and we scanned them. Every time we did an interview, we scanned the photos. And these people are representative of the film. The people who are in the film are those people who stepped up and helped by participating in the film. So, but it was hard to find, first of all, people in the community of Finnish American ancestry, because so many of the third generation, that is the children of the grandchildren, had to leave in order to make a living.
Yeah.
And they had their children elsewhere. And they're not around.
Right.
And it was the case that two of the elders of the community happened to pass on just while I was making the film.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, three of them. 2006, so someone died, and I filmed that episode. But I talked to families after they buried their loved ones to meet and assemble at the family farm and talk about it. And thankfully, two families delivered. They did it. And that was how I was able to get the most material. People who moved away, their children and the grandchildren, are probably between 50 and 80 right now. They would periodically come back Christmas and then ultimately just for funerals, and then they would very seldom come back. But thanks to families assembling for funerals, I was able to get some good material. And there are others, some who stayed, some returned. Mm-hmm. You know, so many people from the UP have to leave, and they're all excited about leaving, going to a big city.
And then they want to come back.
And they want to come back, yeah. Even our students, mm-hmm. students who hate it here.
Yeah.
The first month or so, they want to come back. Yeah. Same thing with K.I. Sawyer people. I have a friend who worked in personnel at K.I. Sawyer. They hated it. Then they applied for an extension of their tour, and then a lot of them came back here as retirees.
Yeah.
So there is that draw, and it has something to do with the sense of place, the culture, especially the environment, environmental dimensions of the sense of place. But it's also the case that the world is deteriorating elsewhere,
yeah.
And it hasn't happened yet in Marquette and elsewhere in the UP.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that sense of place. It is unique. I'm one of those people who couldn't wait to leave, and I left. And I lived in places I liked very much, but every time I returned to the UP, I was like, oh, man, if I could come back here somehow. And I was very fortunate to get the position I have here at the university so that I could do that. And also that a part of what we do at the Heritage Center is trying to educate people about why the UP is such a unique place, and present films like this that help tell that story, it's why we do what we do now, is just to try to keep some of this alive, so that we do continue to be a unique place rather than just another extension of suburban America,
right.
Commercial America, which we all want the box stores and the things that give us, convenience and cheap goods, but at the same time, we need to have the mom and pop stores and restaurants and towns that that are truly Uber, if you will. And really, the UP still has that, and I hear that from people who come here, not just myself. I mean, a lot of people who visit here. I was talking to somebody about that today, and. How they were truly Peter Yarrow from Peter, Paul, and Mary. He came here to perform last year.
Yeah.
And his booking agent and I were talking today, and he said, Peter said to me directly, he says, wow, what a cool place. There's something about that place.
Yeah.
And that says something. This is a guy who's been everywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really moved by his experience here last year.
Yeah.
So it says something.
Right. When I was talking about the forest and the lakes and the sense of place, obviously an important part of that sense of place is the history.
Right.
An appreciation for the history and the cultural traditions associated with it, whether it's Cousin Jack's, Northern Italians and Kudagis, or the largest group, ethnic group in the Western UP, the Finnish Americans and the Native Americans, virtually all Ojibwe, Anishinaabe, they're reviving their culture right now, and all of that adds to the richness and draw. And it's interesting how that's a part of the draw. It's not just the pure Michigan campaign.
Right.
It's this heritage also. And this guy sitting right next to me, Dan Truckee, is doing one hell of a job in promoting the cultural traditions of the UP, as well as the performances from a worldwide sector of the performing arts.
Yeah.
And this guy interviewing me, Hans Ahlstrom, has been the narrator on my last two films.
Yeah, I'll have to do you're that. You're becoming the Peter Coyote.
Oh, no.
No, the narration is a big part of it.
It is. It's incredibly important, and you do a great job.
We're talking to filmmaker Michael Lokanen and Bomir UP Heritage Center director Dan Truckee about this Saturday's event, the premiere of Pelkey, 100 Years of Finnishness in Michigan's Northwoods. That's at 1 o'clock in Jamrich Hall, the new auditorium there, the 1100. Are DVDs available for folks?
Yes, we sell DVDs of the long version of the film, the three-part docu-series. That's a new word I discovered, docu-series.
Yeah. What is that exactly? Is it like a three-part series?
Yes,
or something?
Yeah, okay. It is. And I think Ken Burns just created an eight-part series. He's the guy that does it.
Will some of the folks from Pelkey be at the premiere?
I hope so, but I had I decided to premiere the film in Pelkey. There's okay. No real place to do it, no setting, so we somehow rigged up the church to do it in the church as a church fundraiser.
Nice.
Got about 100 people there. But we will have DVDs of the Pelkey documentary as well as some of those of my other documentaries, and it'll be interesting. I really like to have a discussion after a film. You know, you watch all these images, you hear all these words, you listen to the music, and then, boom, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
You have to talk about it to somehow preserve those images in the mind.
Yeah.
This is what I did in my teaching. If I showed a documentary, and I did show documentaries while I was teaching sociology, it's that post-screening discussion that really locks the film and the images into the minds of the viewers. Without it, it's sort of there and almost gone. Not quite gone, but it really slips into the dark areas of the conscious mind. Yeah.
Once again, we're talking to Michael Lokanen, the documentary filmmaker of Pelkey, 100 Years of Finnishness in Michigan's Northwoods, and Dan Truckee, the director of the Bomir UP Heritage Center. Thanks again, gentlemen, for stopping by and telling us about this movie.
Thank you, Hans.
Thank you, Hans.
Once again, the movie is Saturday at 1 in room 1100 of Jamrich Hall here at NMU.